The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
Once again, a standing ovation for Henry Aaron. Though the confrontation for the second time, Aaron walked in the second inning. He means the tying run at the plate now. So we'll see what Downing does. Al at the belt delivers, and he's low. Ball one.
All right. Of course, that voice belonged to the late, great Vin Scully, voice of the Dodgers forever. He is also the subject of a brand new collection of essays called Perfect Eloquence, An Appreciation of Vin Scully. Now, this is a brand new book that is going to be available on May 1st. It is a collection of essays. We are joined now by two of the many. I mean, look at their list here. Bob Costas, Oral Hershiser, Pete O'Malley, Al Michaels, Harry Shearer, Pat Morrison have all contributed essays about Mr. Scully. We welcome back to this broadcast two good friends of this show, Paul Verkammen, longtime reporter, first at KEYT. A lot of people remember Paul from his work on CNN. And we have the incomparable Tom Likas, broadcaster and podcaster extraordinaire. Paul, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Dave.
Thanks for joining us. Mr. Likas, how are you, sir?
Doing great, Dave. How about you?
I'm all right. Glad to have both of you on this broadcast. So, Paul, let me take the lead. How did this book come together?
Well, simply, Tom Hofart, the longtime sports columnist and rather witty character, decided that he was going to put together this series of essays on Vin Scully. So Tom began recruiting people like Al Michaels, Jessica Mendoza, Tom Likas, myself, to contribute what he thought would be varying degrees of the Vin Scully story. So he breaks it down into innings. Tom had a lot of interaction, Tom Hofarth, with Scully. So at the beginning of each inning, he sets up what the subject will be, and he offers a lot of insights to Scully's life. For example, many people may not know that Vin Scully was extremely Catholic, a man of faith. He also suffered a lot of heartbreak in his life, losing wives, losing a son to a helicopter crash. But the most of the book is a celebration of Vin Scully's skills.
Yeah, in fact, you mentioned that it's broken down into nine innings, and both of your essays are in the ninth inning, The Tao of Vin, Inspiration and Influence. So, Tom, how'd you get involved in the book?
Well, I've known Tom Hofarth for some time, and we were just having a chit-chat one day, and he told me that he was working on this book, and I told him that I had written an essay about Vin with a very specific angle. I wrote it upon his retirement, and I sent it to him, hoping for sure that it would get into his hands, and I believe it did. And what it was for me, it was a celebration of a guy who really had an amazing influence on my life, and different from a lot of the other people, because I didn't grow up in California. I didn't have the good fortune to hear, I was too young to hear Vin when he worked in Brooklyn with the Dodgers. And then when he came to L.A., I heard his name, but I didn't know who he was. And in the essay, I break down that have the first moment I heard Vin, I was sitting on my grandmother's linoleum floor in the Bronx. She had the only color TV in the family, and we were watching the 1965 World Series between the Dodgers and the Minnesota Twins. And Vin, back in those days on the World Series, they didn't have like a Joe Buck or a Joe Davis doing the games. What they did was they used the home team announcers from each team. They would split up the innings. And so I heard, sorry?
No, I was just reacting to that. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So Vin was doing like the first three innings and the last three innings from Minneapolis. And it was the first time I'd actually heard him work. Now, the irony of that is that my grandmother's apartment was on Fordham Road in the Bronx, walking distance from Fordham University, where Vin had his degree. And I watched him, and I was at 9 years old, blown away. And the result of it was that I wanted to be like Vin Scully in every possible way. I went to Fordham University because I heard Vin Scully went to Fordham University. I wanted to come to Los Angeles to live because of it all began with Vin Scully. And I did. I came to Los Angeles in 1988 and lived there for the better part of 20 years. And it was all because of Vin Scully. It all started with Vin and ended with Vin. Everything from his professionalism to his style, the way he managed to keep from being an overt homer like the baseball broadcasters in New York, like Phil Rizzuto and Ralph Kiner, and these guys were all homers. And they were not really, by definition, broadcasters. They came into it later on. Vin was like trained for this. He was born for this. And I saw it, and it was my immediate inspiration. And he inspired all elements of my life.
That's incredible. So, Paul, what's your essay? And talk about how you first discovered Vin Scully.
Well, I first discovered Vin Scully because my Belgian immigrant parents worked at night in a restaurant. And so us four kids, and I guess to agree my grandmother, although she had no idea what they were saying, we were all huddled up and we would listen to Vin Scully. And I realized at a very young age, I went straight to first grade. Don't get me started on how my father goofed that one up. But I skipped kindergarten. I skipped nursery school. I get to first grade and I realize I have giant holes in my vocabulary because, of course, you learn English from your parents and they don't know the English words for a lot of things. And when I had this epiphany, this moment of realization that I needed to shore up my vocabulary, I didn't know it at the time, but I would go to sleep listening to Vin Scully. And as I write my essay, I quickly learned why say the word good when someone like Willie Davis or Raul Mondesi makes a marvelous catch. And all through my school existence, I decided I wanted to be Vin Scully. I wanted to do something with broadcasting or radio, and I would practice. Anyway, Tom Hofarth and I, the organizer of all this, were in school together at USC. We were on the Daily Trojan together. I was a sports editor. And of all ironic moments, we're covering a football game at Stanford, and as only college students would do, we crash at my godmother's house. She's 100% Belgian, and to live the stereotype, she makes us Belgian waffles. And somewhere, Hofarth remembers my odd connection to Vin Scully and how he taught me proper English.
But what's amazing is to listen to the two of you who have had such long and distinguished careers in your respective aspects of broadcasting. And without hesitation, you're talking about the impact that this man had. So, Tom, let me come to you. What is it about Vin Scully that made him so special?
Well, the fact that he was just not only a good broadcaster, but so eloquent, so well-read, references to everything from 50-year-old show tunes to historical events and what have you. He was a well-rounded, well-educated, erudite individual who came from, and in my case, he came from the part of the world where I came from. He was from Washington Heights, a section of Manhattan, north of Harlem, and I was born there myself. So, I grew up in poverty in the South Bronx with many immigrants, including three of my four grandparents were immigrants. And, where I came from, being erudite or eloquent really was not a priority for all the people I knew. I saw something that was just brilliant. Somehow I recognized how brilliant and unique he was. And he became the ultimate North Star for me.
Yeah, I can hear that. Paul, what about for you? What makes Vin Scully so special?
Well, one would be his storytelling. And in fact, I received a direct message from somebody who asked me today, Blake Dorfman of Santa Barbara, why is it that these modern day announcers don't seem to have the same storytelling capabilities? And something I know from having interviewed Vin Scully about this, and also this is in the book, Vin Scully used to dutifully grab a pair of scissors and cut out articles from newspapers around the United States about baseball, about the players, even about pop culture events. He would also then write notes and highlight them. It wasn't until about 1997, and Ben Platt writes this in the book, that Ben is now the Dodgers webmaster, and he teaches Vin how to use his computer and then, of course, download everything. And Vin says to Ben, "Ben, this must have taken you hours and hours." And Ben says, "No, it took 20 minutes. But that changed everything, and Vin was always so prepared. The other thing he did that was remarkable is Vin knew, frankly, when to shut up. Sometimes the moment is so dramatic that there's no need to say another word. You might recall the Kirk Gibson home run. In the year of the improbable, the impossible has happened.
Yeah.
He didn't talk for about a minute.
And that was intentional.
Correct. All the time.
Yeah.
Vin Scully always, always said, and he said this to me in an interview as well, I was fortunate enough to talk to him late in my career, that he did not want to step all over, as they would say on our business, Dave, and Tom, you know that well. He did not want to step yes. on the moment by blabbering. And that's the problem that a lot of people have articulated to me in reading this book. They say they find there's too much giggling in the booth, too much happy talk between the color guy and the main guy. And as you know, what's unique about Vin Scully, and this comes out again and again in the book, Vin Scully did this by himself.
Yeah. And Tom, talk about the point, please, about knowing when not to speak is as important as when you do speak.
Well, that is something that was a key to my own career, because there are other people who were not sportscasters who knew that. I'm going to name two. One, not as well known, Gene Shepard, who was the most well known as the author of the movie A Christmas Story.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Who also narrated A Christmas Story. But when I was a child in New York, he had a 45-minute nightly show where he told monologues. He spun yarns. I watched Gene Shepard in a live appearance at Fordham University when he was sitting on a stool on a stage and he held the rapt attention of about 300-400 people, and he was trying to explain the sound of the snow falling at his home in Indiana. And he said nothing for 30 seconds. And there was no shuffling, no noises being made. Everybody was held spellbound by that. And I saw that at 17, 18 years old. I saw him do that. And the other one, which might surprise you, is Paul Harvey, a broadcaster who also understood the value of silence and the pause. And but Vin certainly, I think, was the master, the best that we're that will ever be and was, that ever was.
We are joined by two of the best, Tom Likas and Paul Verkammen. They have both contributed essays to our brand new appreciation of the late great Vin Scully. It's called Perfect Eloquence, An Appreciation of Vin Scully. This is going to be available on May 1st. You can go online and order it now. You can go to your favorite local bookstore. However you get books, place an order. This is going to be a great gift to give yourself, a great gift to anybody who loves baseball. We'll come back and continue the conversation on AM 920, FM 96.5, News Talk, KVEC. Where, once again, I'm reminded I have the best job in the county, because I get paid to talk to Tom Likas and Paul Verkammen about the brand new book, Perfect Eloquence, An Appreciation of Vin Scully, available however you get books starting May 1st. Gentlemen, as I come back to each of you, Paul, let me start with you, because both of you have met Vin Scully. Talk about the circumstances. Talk about the experience. What was it like to actually meet the man, Paul?
Well, first off, he's amiable. That comes out in the book again and again. Vinny always described himself as very happy, and he just was cordial. He made people feel great. I had interactions with him. And then later, I was fortunate enough to interview Vin Scully. And it was a time of great contentiousness in the country. You'll recall, we were having a lot of social justice riots after what happened to George Floyd. And while most of the interview with Vinny was about his technique and his career, what surprised me is I didn't think he'd want to take this on. I said, as a good friend of Jackie Robinson, what would you say right now about this contentiousness and what's going on in America? And Vinny said, no, I want to answer that. And he quoted someone else. He said, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. And then Vinny said, so there's a lot of people who are not speaking up, who are not telling the right things. And he was talking about Jackie Robinson. He said, Jackie Robinson spoke out, and he was not a silent friend. So it was interesting for me to hear what Vinny had to say about a social justice issue. And you had earlier played, Dave, the Hank Aaron home run.
Yeah.
I will paraphrase this poorly, but Vinny had said something about what a great moment this is that a black man in the South is receiving a standing ovation by breaking the record of an icon. And so all these things just get woven together in my experience, and I'm sure Tom's as well, when you had listened to Vin Scully for a long time and then spoke with him later.
Yeah. So, Tom, what was the experience like for you, please?
Well, I was lucky enough that the vice president of broadcasting for the Dodgers was my former producer, Eric Braverman. And that's how I met him. I didn't get the opportunity to interview him, but I was taken into his booth, and he was a lovely man, fascinating to talk to. All I kept thinking was, they probably put you through this 150 times a day, and I was just so appreciative that he took that time out to meet me like he hadn't spoken to anyone that day. I imagine that's how... And honestly, I imagine that was one of his characteristics. He probably made everybody feel like a friend, because that's how it felt for me. And I had never met him, and I had never worked with him, and I had never been around him. But I felt like I knew him forever, and I walked out of there blown away.
How cool is that? Because, you know, they talk about you should meet your heroes, because they rarely live up to your expectations. But it sounds like for the two of you, Mr. Scully certainly did.
I would say he exceeded my expectations.
Yeah, Paul?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just told you about Vin Scully stepping on people. Now I step on you, Tom.
Paul and I were saying the same thing at the same time, that he exceeded our expectations.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Huh. But then what about the fans, Paul? They must have felt a very strong connection to Vin Scully.
If you say these words in Los Angeles, people actually will try to jump in and finish it with you as if it's a chorus. It's time for Dodger baseball. When yep. Vin Scully passed, I stood there in the stadium wanting to honor him properly, and I just began interviewing fans for CNN. And among the things that came out of this was those invitations, that he was iconic. I felt if he ran for mayor of Los Angeles, he would win by a landslide.
Oh, sure.
One teary-eyed woman said, I cannot imagine anyone more popular in this city.
I can't either, except maybe Sandy Koufax, but dating myself. All right. So
Sandy Koufax, the legend that is Sandy Koufax, was largely not misrepresented, but largely created by and amplified by Vin Scully. The reason Sandy Koufax is everybody's favorite player, a lot of people's favorite player, was because of what Vin told us about him.
I had never thought about that, but you'd be right, because we learned about Sandy Koufax through Vin Scully, by and large.
That's right.
Yeah. Paul, you agree?
Yes, and in the book, listen to this, Bob Costas writes in the book that he receives a transcript of Vin Scully calling Sandy Koufax's no-hitter in 1965. In fact, I think it was a perfect game. And Costas writes that he thought he was receiving some sort of essay or manuscript. It's so eloquent, it's so rich, it's so well done. He only realizes later that this is just Vin Scully ad-libbing, as he always did, with what the book is named, Perfect Eloquence.
Well, that's the key. It was unscripted, typically.
Unscripted.
That's the genius of the guy. Not only was he eloquent and poetic, but he was unscripted. Wow. In comparison.
Another great.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Paul.
Joe Saltzman, the fine USC professor of broadcasting, he said one thing that struck him is, he was talking about Bob Gibson, the pitcher, and he's on the mound, and he works extremely fast. And he said he pitches as if he's double parked.
That's a great line. I love that. Tom Likas, Paul Verkammen, saluting Vin Scully. It's a brand new book, Perfect Eloquence, An Appreciation of Vin Scully, a collection of essays. You're going to be able to get this starting May 1st, however you get books. In comparison, Tom, what about the announcers of today? We don't have a Vin Scully out there, do we?
Well, unfortunately, just like so many media today, social media has polluted the environment of broadcasting. And so a lot of the announcers are more interested in getting clicks, and they're on Instagram with their personal lives and what have you. I think one of the great things about Vin is he did not dwell on his personal life. He did not dwell on what he did for dinner last night or what cities he's been to. It was never about Vin. And nowadays, when I tune into games, I'm here, and he does a pretty good job as a replacement for the legend of all time, Joe Davis. I hear more about his barbecues with his family, and that's nice and all that, but really there's a game going on. And kibitzing with the sidekick, who sometimes is Oral Hershiser, and sometimes it's Eric Karros. But I really am more interested in what's going on the field or with the players we're looking at right now. Yeah. And I you know, again, no dissing of Joe Davis. I think he's doing a great job to be in such a tough position. But, you know, the fact is today's announcers don't focus as much on the game as Vin did. I hear more about beach towel night and Hello Kitty night and who did a commercial and how they looked in the commercial. Everything but the game.
All right. It's been a real pleasure to chat with Tom Likas and Paul Verkammen. The book is Perfect Eloquence, An Appreciation of Vin Scully. Available however you get books starting May 1st. Paul, I got about 20 seconds for a final thought.
All I know is I'm sitting there at Dodger Stadium. I'm trying to come up with a closing line. I want to honor my, you know, favorite ever, and I want to give context to the general viewer that doesn't know about sports. And I just said, you know, Vin Scully is to art what Vin Scully is to baseball, announcing what Van Gogh is to art, and Louis Armstrong to jazz.
I like that. That says it all. Tom, 20 seconds, sir.
Vin Scully is my North Star. He had a great influence on my life. I don't think he ever had any idea that he influenced anyone to this extent. Imagine going to college at Fordham University because Vin went there. Imagine moving to L.A. because Vin went there. He was everything to me.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad both of you were able to put that in paper and to share with us on the radio today. I look forward to reading the book. Thank you both for your time. Off we go. We got news, traffic, weather. 5 o'clock hour starts now.
The 920 KBEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slow County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kbec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111911.